behind our schedule, please take your seats. Welcome back to London. Almost 1 year since we last met all together. It's a great opportunity for you and us in the ISB to interact and exchange ideas. It's very important for us to have you all here. So thank you very much for taking your time to come to London, and hope you enjoy these 2 days of meetings and exchange of views. We'll have a quite a full day today and tomorrow. And so in the interest of time, I'll go direct to the point. So as you know, I will host this conference, so I'm not being paid an additional for that. But I have a boss for 2 days, Mike Wells, and he keeps reminding me about the time and about get together in this room, please. So try to follow the schedule for us to take advantage of our time. One thing that he asked me to remind you is that you have the mics on your table, so if you want to, during the course of the day, of course, we are going to interact and discuss many points, and we expect you to participate actively these 2 days. So to talk, you have to press the green button in the mic. And if more than 4 people press it, this is not going to work. So let's try to identify ourselves when talking, and soon after talking, just turn it off, please. So with that, I will invite Hans to present before you, please. Welcome, Hans.
Thank you. Thank you, Amaru. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see so many familiar faces here. I've been in this job over a year, and I've gotten to know many of you and started to befriend many of you, and it's nice to see you here. And I have been told that this group just keeps on growing, and I suppose that has to do with the growth of the IFRS community around the world. And this year we have representatives of more than 60 countries attending this conference. We are sort of becoming a United Nations. In the last decade, we have witnessed a revolution in financial reporting. 10 years ago, it's hard to believe, but no jurisdictions used international accounting standards. And now more than 100 do one way or another, including 2/3 of the G20. And later today, we will hear the results of a recent survey that we did on the use of IFRS among your group. And the results will be very interesting and encouraging. They make clear that different jurisdictions are at different stages on their journey to IFRS adoption. But the direction of travel and the considerable momentum is clear. Despite this quite remarkable progress, there still remains a great deal to do. The standards are not yet truly global. We are waiting for a country here and there. Consistency of adoption and implementation needs to be addressed. And we have challenges to overcome in completing the remaining convergence projects before we can move on to our new agenda. Actually, this is my written text is not good here, because we have already started on our new agenda even before completing the remaining convergence projects. And these are challenges that the ISB and the worldwide standard-setting community will face together. There is no doubt, and there has never been any doubt, that the development of IFRSs has always been a collaborative exercise. And to use an accounting term, we receive a great deal of goodwill from people like you, from the accounting standard community. We lean heavily on support from national standard setters and regional bodies. That has always been the case, and it will remain so. However, I think it's true to say that the nature of this relationship between the ISB and national standard setters and regional bodies is not completely clear yet. Out of necessity, in the last decade, we have maintained a series of bilateral relationships with a number of larger jurisdictions, and of course the relationship with the FESB has been the most important one. At the same time, we have worked with others on a more informal basis, working together on research, on outreach activities, and other areas. And these working practices were appropriate at an earlier stage in the development of IFRSs, and when we were a smaller community. But as we have grown so big, we really have to take a step back and see what we have to do. We need a new, more formal model for cooperation. This topic has added importance given the dependence of global standards on national and regional endorsement mechanisms that are in place around the world. We cannot simply, although we would like to, but we cannot simply tell countries that they should adopt our standards. I look at Françoise, that it is still a dream that we have, but I don't think we will get there. It is quite understandable that a jurisdiction wishes to conduct its own assessment of new standards before confirming their application. However, if each jurisdictional assessment is going to be conducted in isolation after the standard has been issued by the IASB, then we are almost asking for trouble. We must all work together to find ways to conduct such assessments early in the process and to do so in a way that minimizes duplication of effort and maximizes the chances of global adoption of the final standard. The strategy review by the trustees called upon the ISB to address this topic, and we have spent much of the last 6 months developing further our plans. And I see three important areas that we need to address. First, we need to develop a forum that permits us to move from a series of bilateral arrangements with a handful of jurisdictions to a more inclusive multilateral relationship with representatives of the broader standard-setting community. And second, we need to provide greater clarity on our respective roles and responsibilities. And we will do this by better defining and structuring the relationship between the ISB and the standard-setting community. And third, we will seek out areas of greater cooperation. And obvious examples are greater cooperation in the research phase of the standard-setting process and when conducting post-implementation reviews of standards that have already come into effect. I have heard, I was not there in Zurich at the IFAS meeting, but I have heard that there were very interesting presentations on, for example, the use of a discount rate, very deep kind of research that we can really use. To help us tackle these issues, we are planning to establish a new accounting standards forum from the beginning of 2013. And you will see the proposal very soon. Some of you have already seen drafts. The role of the forum would be to provide advice and feedback to the ISB on major technical issues related to its standard setting activities. The forum will also provide input on national and regional issues. However, in designing this forum, we must tread very carefully. We need to get the balance right between the size of the group and the need for broad representation. And these are goals that can be in conflict with each other. You want to be as inclusive as possible, but if it's too big, then the main purpose of the forum, which is to have profound technical discussion, will become very hard to reach. So we have to find a happy medium between being inclusive and being compact. There is a great deal about our existing methods of cooperation with standard setters that works very well, and we must preserve the informality and can-do, roll up your sleeves attitude of the relationship between the IASB and standard setters. Let us not over-formalize things. Ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude. We are entering a new era in financial reporting. The standard-setting community has done much to support the IASB over the last decade, and we need your support now more than ever. There is much important work to be done over the next few days, and we look forward to hearing and discussing your views in what I hope will be a very lively and interactive session. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Hans. We don't have time, actually, for questions and answers right now or at the end of the sessions, but we'll be during the whole day around, so we'll have the chance to chat and exchange ideas as the day goes forward. So with that, I will invite Ian and Alan to present to you about our future agenda.
Thank you, Amaro. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's very nice to see so many people here this morning. As Hans said, 68 countries, the family's growing each year. Amaro keeps count and keeps control of them. He's our father. But it does seem like I've seen a lot of you just quite recently. I'm not sure why. There's a lot of familiar faces. And in terms of this presentation, there's a mixed crowd. There's some that have heard this message quite recently, and there's some that haven't heard this message for a little while. So please, those that have heard recently, please bear with me while I go back on a few of the old details. I'm going to delve into the past and why we're getting to where we're getting, and Alan will get the interesting job of telling you what's going to happen in the future. Now, we've only got half an hour. We will have time for questions, I think, Amaro, won't we, on this one? We can take questions at the end. Yeah. And so I'll go quite quickly. Most of you will be aware that we have a commitment and we're obliged by the trustees, in any way we want to do an agenda consultation each 3 years. And this is now really part of our due process. Getting an item onto the agenda is quite a long process, and the agenda consultation really is the beginnings of the process to give us an idea of what people think. Now, it helps us establish a broad strategic direction, and then we move on from that to actually get items moved onto the agenda itself. And we have to continue to look at the balance between improving and maintaining what we've got, to look at projects that have been deferred, and there's been quite a few of those in the past few years, and think about what are the areas that people want improved. So as we went into that consultation, and as I say, I'm looking into the past, Alan will get more into the future. As Hans already mentioned, and as our trustees have told us, it's important for us to re-establish, I think, a research function. With the really hard work and intense work that was going on with concepts, we haven't had a lot of time to spend on research in the last 5 or 6 years, probably. And the trustees made it clear to us that we need to be doing that work in the background all the time. We need to be doing, have a capacity ourselves, which is what the bottom of the slide says, but we also need to be working with others. And again, as Hans mentioned, a lot of the national standard setters and a lot of other people are getting into some really good work, which may not be taken up immediately, but is always there in the background and always very useful, even useful in thinking about what should be on the agenda. The board has always had it in mind that the conceptual framework, which has been shelved for a while, should be brought back right up to the front, really. And without stealing Alan's thunder, I mean, that was a strong message we got from our constituents as well. So there's absolutely no doubt that I think everybody thinks the conceptual framework should be one of our main priorities. We need to complete the four major projects that we're already working on, and we're very hopeful that maybe by the end of next year We could have broken the back anyway of those and allow ourselves to move on to the new agenda. And we needed to select some standards level projects to get on with. We've been also guided by the trustees in relation to maintenance of the existing IFRS and consistent application of IFRS. And it's as the family's grown, as more and more people are using IFRS, it's important. We're not able to regulate people, that's not our role, but it's important that we're aware of how they're being implemented and we're encouraging and helping people to implement in a consistent fashion across the board. And we need to respond to those implementation needs. So that was another thing we had in mind as we went into the agenda consultation. There's the history of the consultation. We discussed the document with the Advisory Council. We published our request for views in July 2011. We had a lot of outreach during the period that the document was out. We had a deadline in November last year. We've had roundtables since, and we hope that we're coming to the end of this first three-year cycle, because if we don't finish soon, we'll be into the next three-year cycle, and then where will we be? It's been presented to the board. We've discussed the feedback with the Advisory Council, and we'll be moving on, and Alan will take you more into the future. So what did people tell us? Everybody thought we should complete the four current projects, or I think almost everybody. We didn't get a strong view saying just shelve them. So we're doing that, of course. Focus on maintenance. And this is the period of calm argument. Please, we're getting lots of new standards. They're continuing to come out. It looks like 2015 might be a big year for a lot of changes starting then. Please don't keep piling new standards on us, but keep an eye on what's out there and how it's working. Get the research function underway and start working with national standard setters, academics and others. And as Hans has already outlined and will outline in more detail later on, we do have plans for actually achieving that. And almost everybody, in fact, I think you could say everybody said, please get on and complete the conceptual framework. People had lots of different reasons for that, but they all came to the same conclusion. And we've heard that message loud and clear. So there's the background, there's where we've been, and I'll pass it over to Alan to tell us where we're going. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. What I'm going to do is, you know, as Ian said, talk about the future, basically, of what we're going to develop in the next 3 years or so. I guess we're sort of working in a three-year cycle in that we have this public consultation. We listen, learn about what people would like us to do, adjust our work plan and so on. This was an unusual consultation for us because essentially we've been very focused on the MOU projects, you know, revenue, leases, financial instruments and insurance. And if you take those away, it was a relatively empty agenda. I think you'll find in 3 years from now we'll be hopefully well developed in many of our other projects. So from then on it'll be more a case of evolving the work plan as opposed to creating a brand new one. Technical work plan, there really are four aspects to the work plan. I'm only going to talk in detail about two of them, conceptual framework and the major projects, because you've got a session tomorrow morning on post-implementation reviews and a session this afternoon on implementation and maintenance. But essentially there are four things we're doing. It's building this long-term framework for setting standards. Post-implementation reviews, we've committed to making sure that we review all new standards and major amendments 2 to 3 years after each one has come into effect. And as Ian said, implementation and maintenance is very important as well. But I'm going to talk about two aspects. First is conceptual framework. That's a priority for us. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been putting together the team and the timetable for this. We've decided, and the board collectively has decided, that we will develop five basic chapters. So that doesn't mean they're going to have five chapters of the framework. It could end up being three or five or six, but essentially five topics all together because they are related. We're going to pick up the work we had already undertaken on reporting entity. We got to an ED at that several years ago. We also are going to look at presentation and, very importantly, the nature of net income, OCI. Do we need OCI? Should we have it? If we do, should we be recycling, for example? It's a question that's probably vexed a lot of people for a long time. We often say it's very easy for us to come out with a suggestion. The question will be how much people agree with what we're proposing. But we really need to get on top of presentation. What is it the financial statements are telling you about the entity? The income statement, the cash flow statement, and the balance sheet, what are their purposes? So it's going to be a challenging chapter, but we're determined to take that on. We also have to look at disclosure, and I think it's disclosure is something that's got a lot of press of late. There's been some excellent work by some national standard setters and others on disclosure overload, on clarity, on removing the clutter, excess baggage, the little words that you'll hear around disclosure. Essentially, people are saying that they don't understand necessarily the story that a company's trying to tell. And so we're going to have a look at disclosure as well as part of the presentation to see if we can identify some very good principles that we can apply when we develop our standards. You know, it doesn't mean that we'll end up changing a whole lot of our standards later on, but that will give us the framework to do that if we want to. I think you'll see sneaking into that as well, there's a lot of excellent work that we did in Financial Presentation Project, and people ask, what's happened to that? I think you'll see some of the principles that we developed there start to be discussed again on both presentation and disclosure. Because really we discussed a lot about what's the income statement about, how should that be structured, and so on. I think that discussion will come back up again. So a lot of this work's been, in thinking at least, has been done. We also want to look at elements. We got to not quite a discussion paper on that before we suspended the project, but the element section, and that has to include recognition, for example, and derecognition. You know, even simple questions like, if you've got a good recognition principle, do you need a derecognition principle? Because people say, well, if you don't no longer meet the control or recognition, then you've already looked after that other aspect. And of course, lastly, and certainly not least, is measurement. And I think that's probably one that's very interesting for people. We need some clear principles so that when we set standards, we know what measurement attribute to associate with a particular item. Okay, and the classic example is, you know, whether it's, for example, an updated value, and fair value is the one we generally turn to, or whether you take the initial exchange amount and you in some way measure consumption, which is essentially amortized cost. And I think identifying an appropriate measurement attribute is going to be very, very important. A couple of things about the working methods. It's an ISB-led project on this. We initially had it as a joint project with the FASB, but now we're working on this with other standard setters, but essentially led by us. We're putting together, as I said, a strong team internally, but we're also, I'm hoping, expecting contributions from other standard setters and others outside of the standard setting community as well. We are developing, as I said, all the chapters together because there's so much relationship between the various parts that people criticised us actually for taking a step-by-step approach with our framework, with the qualitative characteristics and objectives. And so we think that we should develop them all together so we can see the consequences of one chapter, how it affects the other. The other thing, too, is, I say we're not going to take our team and lock them away in the basement at 30 Cannon Street and ask them to emerge in 9 months with a discussion paper. We want them to be informed by real issues. And we've struggled with some of the projects. IS37, which deals with things like lawsuits and environmental cleanup costs, do you have a liability? And if you do, how do you measure that? If the values are quite extreme, there's a lot of variation, what's the right measurement attribute? Those things are really challenging. Rate-regulated activities, emission trading schemes, the split between liabilities and equity, all of those things, we've got some really good examples. And if a framework's going to be helpful, it will actually help guide the standard setter to identify good solutions. So we're going to take some of those practical problems and feed those in. They become challenges for us. So we will have our framework team informed by the standard setting team and get them to work together. In terms of timetable, our goal, our clear target and our priority is to get a discussion paper out by June of next year. So that's 9 months from now. It's a challenging project, but I think what you'll see is some innovation about the way we go about setting putting that project together. Too often in the past, we worked in a sequence where We develop, we take papers to the board, we develop the discussion paper, we ballot it, we put it out, we wait 6 months or 4 months for comments, we then analyse the comments and so on. I think you're going to see things like public roundtables taking place during the consultation process. And so we get feedback on as we go along. Speed up the process so we get the thinking in it much, much earlier. And I think that's the way we'll actually get this project done. But we are determined that we are not going to keep on pushing out deadlines on this. 30 June next year for a discussion paper. Right, the other aspect of it, so we move away from conceptual framework, which is a priority. We're going to separate our work programs into two parts, a research program and then a standards level program. Okay, it's a relatively small change in a way, but it's also an important change. What we're doing is creating sort of like a pyramid. We're going to have a broad base of research projects. There's a much lower threshold to get onto the research agenda, and I'll show you the projects. The emphasis at this early stage is on defining our problem. I always say it's actually a lot easier to get people to agree on what the problem is than it is to agree on the solution. And too often we get people say that we've raced too quickly to a solution without defining the problem clearly enough up front. So part of our research program is to, people will come to us and say, we think there's a problem with financial reporting, because that's what we deal with. There's a deficiency, the information's not clear enough, or it's very costly to produce. Isn't there a better way of doing something? The first thing we've got to ask is there a problem with financial reporting? And this is what this research phase will do. Okay, our output from that will be a discussion paper. That's the typical thing. Sometimes we'll have a research paper, and that's because we'll ask another standard setter to do the work for us or with us. But essentially it's a discussion paper, public comment, and we'll get feedback from there. And it's from the outcome from that that we'll decide whether or not we actually need to do something at the standards level. Okay, so that becomes what we call the agenda decision, I guess, historically. The idea of that is, and why it's very important to emphasise, this is a change in focus a bit. It might be that we do this research and decide there's just nothing worth doing. There isn't a problem that needs our energy and time at the moment. So the idea of this is to have a much stronger filter, I think, before we hit the standards level place. Also, before we decide to go towards a standard, we'll have learned a lot more. We'll have put aside solutions that we know won't be supported. For example, they're not cost effective. So we'll end up with, hopefully, getting far more information that will allow us to say, we think we have a problem and we think we've got a solution. Then we can add that to our standards level agenda. Now, the priority projects that we've got for this, and I'm conscious I'll give you some time to ask questions, it's moved on since we even put the overhead pack together. Agriculture, rate regulated and separate financial statements. We've discussed agriculture and rate regulated with our board and our advisory council. For agriculture, we're looking to develop a narrow scope exposure draft to deal with bearer assets. Rate regulated activities, we're moving to a discussion paper for that. It's a complex issue. We have a related question for rate regulated, whether we should put in place an interim solution that potentially allows grandfathering of current practice, and that's the debate we've yet to have. Separate financial statements, there's a small narrow scope project. People want to be able to use the equity method in the separate financial statements for their subsidiaries. Okay, so we're looking at that, and some clarification about the accounting and separate financial statements for both subsidiary accounting and also for joint arrangements. We're also going to move to discussion papers for emission trading schemes and business combinations under common control. Then the analysis will slowly begin on these other projects. I'm not going to talk about each of the projects, but discount rates, equity method of accounting, there are quite a few projects in there, 7 on that list that we've identified as being more of a priority. It's going to take us a while to feed those out. Our major priority at the moment is 1, the MOU projects. We need to finish revenue, leases, FI and insurance, and secondly, the framework. So as staff become available, we will quietly feed these onto our agenda. I think it's going to be 18 months or so before some of these actually make their way onto our work plan. But we're going to have to rely on others to do some of the work for us. For example, there's already some work through South America on hyperinflation that will feed into our program, and we'll pick that up, allocate a staff member, and then start to bring that work into the ISB. So quite a few projects in there. and that will sit as part of our research. And it might be that we end up all this for discount rates, for example, about whether we do or don't have consistent discount rates, we might conclude that there's no more work to do. Or it might be that we have a recommendation to go on to a standards level project. The idea is that once we've got the standards level program, this just feeds off our research program. That they ought to be, the third point here, which is very important, if we've done all this preparatory work, I'm hoping that our work plan, when you see it, will often not change as much as it has changed historically, because we'll have a good solution that we think is workable, and that will be built into the exposure draft. Okay? So in other words, a lot of preparatory work has been done earlier on before we actually walk on to a standards level process. And that means we should have shorter and sharper, much more focused standard setting development. And it could be, don't quote me on number of years, but you know, once it hits that level, 3 years to get a standard out as opposed to 5 or 12, etc., as we've got with some. Now, that's not all we're doing. There are a couple of other things I'll mention very quickly. One is that it takes us a while. It's going to take a while to get the disclosure section of the framework in place. And people at the moment are saying that the quality of the disclosures and the presentation is not good enough. I don't know what good enough means, or people don't understand the reports. They're not telling a clear enough story. We are setting up a disclosure forum. We're going to get the standard setters in a room with the regulators and the auditors and the preparers and the users, and to talk about what users' expectations are, what preparers' frustrations are, to see if we can learn a lot from that, from all the work the other standard setters have done, to see whether some improvements can be made within the current existing framework and standards. That will take place at the end of January of next year. We have been implemented, and it's ongoing, but we've essentially implemented a review of the Interpretations Committee. You'll see us being far more active in interpretations. People have asked for help with existing standards. That is happening. The Interpretations Committee, through interpretations and annual improvements, is being far more active. We have just established a consultative group on effect analysis, so we will be explaining far more clearly in our basis for conclusions the likely effects of a new standard, what we think the effect will be. And as Hans has mentioned, we can't do this alone, so we're going to be formalising our IFRS networks and our research capability so we can draw on all the people who are in this room to help us achieve this much broader research base and complete things. And the other is that we, on the side of all this, to make sure it's absolutely transparent in what we're doing, we've revised our due process handbook quite significantly. We expect to wrap that up hopefully at the end of this year. So, and there will be far more reporting on an ongoing basis of the activities that we've been undertaking. So I think that's a fairly fast wrap-up of where we're heading. I'll mention one thing. Ian mentioned this period of calm. Now, if you go back and look at all these things we're doing, you say, well, it doesn't look very calm. The difference is this is a research, a lot of this is in the research phase. It's not going to feed out into the standard setting phase until perhaps 3 or 4 years from now. So I think that we will create a period of calm focusing on the framework and maintenance while we build up this other information. So.
Thank you very much, Alan and Ian. We have 8 minutes and a half for questions and answers. So I think it would be interesting for you to have to identify yourself before directing the question, and take this opportunity to clarify and discuss the issues presented by Ian and Alan. Please, floor is yours. Françoise.
Thank you. Françoise Flores, European Financial Reporting Advisory Group. My question relates, in fact, to the conceptual framework project. And I could not encourage more the ISB to have adopted this very ambitious kind of deadline to complete the revision. I think it reflects a demand from stakeholders. I listened to the, you know, we have a great interest in this project, so I listened to the discussion of the ISB end of September, when in fact the process and how the project should develop was being discussed, and I took interest in some board members' questions about how much board time there would be to come to some preliminary views to be reflected in the discussion paper. And indeed, if the deadline of June 2013 for discussion paper is to be to be met, it is very challenging. So I was coming to this question. Have you thought of having, in this discussion paper, something that would reflect the pros and cons of the various possibilities and call for comments from constituents on, in fact, an open discussion paper so that you can have the debate with stakeholders going on before you would form preliminary views?
Thanks, Francoise. That's a very good question, because I think the approach we're taking is that we've set ourselves a deadline, and then we say, well, okay, what do we need to do to achieve that? And so that's why I think there'll be some change in the way we operate. One quick point before I answer your question directly is that I think we expect to see this at the board in November. So we will start in November with our first public session, and we expect it to be at the board probably every month until we get the discussion paper out. So there will be quite a lot of open discussion. The question you ask about pros and cons, in other words, people say you have a preliminary views, in other words, a view expressed in a discussion paper, or should it be more open? I think we have discussed that internally. We think that if the board has clearly got a view, they should express it. But there are going to be some more difficult issues where the board might be more split, and it might be much more effective and better to express both of those views. The complication that makes is by, as soon as you've got two choices, we need to explain what the consequences are of particular pathways. It becomes this horrible network of, if you turn left here, that has implications somewhere else. And so the clearer and more cohesive your package, the better it's going to be. And so our preference is obviously, if we can paint a clear picture and a cohesive package, we will, but there are bound to be some little points where it will be better to have pros and cons and be slightly more open.
Thanks, Alan. Mr. Carvalho, please.
Thank you very much. Nelson Carvalho from Brazil. In the feedback slide from Ian McIntosh, on the common views, there is a statement there is the interest to utilize research from national standard setters and academics. Is there a mechanism envisaged for that, or if there isn't, when can we expect to have one?
As regards the standard setters, as you know, we're working on a mechanism, but I think your question is probably more interested in the academic side, Nelson. We don't have in place a firm plan for that. We do work with academics a lot. We do realise we have to formalise this a bit, and I would hope that in the next few months we'll be coming out with something.
Any additional question? Please, sir.
Dele Jones, Sierra Leone. You have pointed out that the community of standard setters is expanding, and we in Sierra Leone are part of that expanding community. We have said for a while that our priorities are slightly different from the mainstream, and one of our high priorities is not-for-profit accounting. And so I'm concerned that in the agenda going forward, there still is no mention of any plans for not-for-profit accounting, which is a major part of our constituency.
Yes, thanks. We're aware of that. And in fact, I was discussing that very point with the chairman of IPSASB earlier this week, because you could debate whether it's in their area of interest or whether it's in our area of interest. And I think between the two of us, it would be fair to say we weren't quite sure. However, we have fairly clear guidelines from our trustees that at least in the medium term, we should be looking at private sector for profit. Now, you can you know, we can continue to debate that, but that's where we sit as of now with our trustees in the strategic document they put out earlier this year.
Thanks, Sam. Mr. Grass, please. Green button is not working
okay.
Over there.
Okay, it's working, yes. Now, regarding the conceptual framework, we believe that it is very important to achieve consistency among standards, because we have seen that there are some conflicted standards, and maybe a good conceptual framework will eliminate those inconsistencies. But have you thought about having the conceptual framework at a higher level of standards, let's say like a constitution, and that all the other standards will be guided by that conceptual framework?
Yes, I mean, the conceptual framework is there to guide us in our standard setting. There may be times, for reasons of practicality or pragmatism or whatever, that we vary from the conceptual framework. My view, and I think the board's view, is if we were to do that, we should say that clearly and explain why. So I don't think we would bind ourselves always to completely follow the framework, but we should be very transparent when we don't, and have very good reasons as to why we don't follow it.
Thank you very much, Ian and Alan. We used all our time. As you could see, for those familiar with the Mayan prophecy from the Mexico, we are entering in a process of transformation. And the ISB, we are not waiting until 21st of December to start that as the big day. So we have lots to do in the near future. We hope to continue work closely with you to achieve our mission. And I would like to thank you very much, Alan and Ian, for the presentation. We now start with the breakout sessions from 9:45. For those who are attending the IFRS for SMEs, should remain in this very same room. For those who are attending the Option 2 education sessions, the first one is start 9:45 in General Head Accounting, the second 11:15 in Leases. Both will take place in the Beauchamp Suite. Tea and coffee will be served here in this room, in the back of the room, and the others will be in the same suite. Lunch will be at 12:45 in the gallery, and we'll reconvene in this very same room at 1:45. So please enjoy the next sessions, and we'll see all together here 1:45. Thank you very much.